Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Mark Medina is one of my favorite dudes. National NBA writer for USA Today. The D'Angelo Russell whisperer. And my friend, Mark G underscore Medina on Twitter. Well, Mark, you're here. What's up?
I'm here. I'm better. I'm ready for the playoffs. I think it was like the Clippers the other day where they're resting all their guys before the playoffs to make sure no one gets hurt. So that's what happened to me.
Yeah. I mean, that works as long as someone shows up for the game. Mark
yeah,
Medina.
Touche. Tip your waiters. They've been working hard.
Here on the program. All right, so let's jump right into it. Give me what you think the most surprising outcome is going to be in the first round of the playoffs. Is there a series you look at, you know, Milwaukee, Miami, Brooklyn, Boston, Utah, if they play the Warriors, whatever, where you think there's a potential first-round winner that people aren't expecting or that's a technical underdog, an actual underdog?
Yeah, I don't think in this condensed season, the unique nature of it, that there is like an underdog. Maybe the only scenario would be like if, heaven forbid, the Brooklyn Nets lost to the Boston Celtics. That would be the oh my God WTF moment. But I think everything else is pretty much up for grabs. I mean, even the Utah Jazz, if they face the Warriors, you know, they're playing their elimination game against the Grizzlies. While that would be somewhat surprising, at the other end of the coin, Steph Curry is really good, and he's been having historic performances. So I don't think that anything's going to surprise me unless Brooklyn flames out in the first round.
Do you think that we're talking to Mark Medina here on the show? Mark, we've had so many NBA folks on, and one of the things that I find interesting is the stark and passionate disagreement on how to evaluate the Nets. There's a lot of people who think they're just not going to live up to their potential for a variety of reasons. I am one of them. And there's a lot of people who think it's almost inevitable that this team is going to make and probably win an NBA Finals this year. Where do you come down on your evaluation, your predictions of what you think Brooklyn's actually going to be starting tomorrow?
Yeah, my thought has evolved throughout the season because, look, I've been on record that when James Harden got traded to Brooklyn, that it wasn't going to work, that he was going to be butting heads with Kyrie while Kevin Durant has learned how to, you know, play his game with other all-stars in Golden State. I thought that this would be a much tougher exercise. But to Harden's credit, he's exceeded those expectations. They have defensive weaknesses, but I think because they have so much offensive depth, it'll overcome it. But where I think that the Nets are vulnerable is the health issue. And look, maybe that's not unique for any team, but I think when you're looking at those three guys in particular, they've had injuries throughout the season. They've only played a combined seven games together. And while I think that because of their individual experiences, they can figure that out, I can't help but think that one, two, or maybe even three of them are due to have another injury. And, you know, you never have stakes in our field of who you want to win, but you don't want guys to get hurt. But when you're looking at this season, there's been a new injury for each guy at some point. And so I can't help but think that it's inevitable that another injury will happen. So that's where I think that they could be vulnerable.
Yeah, I think that's an extremely reasonable perspective. It's a good point, Mark Medina on the show. And Mark, in that vein, what's your level of confidence that LeBron James and Anthony Davis will be healthy for the next 16 to 24 playoff games if they get that far?
Yeah, it's an unknown, but all things considered, I'm more bullish about their health long-term than the Nets. And maybe that sounds weird because LeBron and AD had serious injuries that kept them out for an extended period of time. But I think Anthony Davis has shown that he's finally, you know, has got his conditioning up to speed. While he has been injury-prone throughout his career, most of his injuries are never severe, and a lot of times it's him falling down and then going to the locker room and then coming back pretty quickly. LeBron's case with his ankle injury, sure, you can look at, oh, well, he only played two games when he came back and then had to miss six. But I think the reality of the nature of that injury had to do with he didn't have practices, scrimmages to ramp up before his return because of this condensed schedule. So that's where those two games came into play. And I think since then, he has got his win back. He may have had an ankle scare in the season finale, but it didn't flare up afterwards. And so I'm bullish that the more games they play, their health is going to get continually to get better. But that being said, you never know. These guys are getting older, and injuries have a life of its own.
Mark Medina on the show. Mark, is it fair or is it unfair to nickname AD Anthony Humpty Dumpty Davis?
Everything you say is usually unfair, so I'll go with that.
It is? Everything I say is usually unfair? Uh-huh.
I would say it's fair if you want to call AD like a klutz, but I wouldn't say he's Humpty Dumpty because, you know, Humpty Dumpty, the eggs crack and all of a sudden you can't put it back together again. If you look at AD's injury history, yes, there's a litany of injuries that would, almost read like an actor's IMDb page, but the amount of time that he's out for them have been really short. And so when you're looking at this specific injury, this was unique that it was the first major injury that kept him out for an extended period of time. And I think because of how long the Lakers managed that injury and kept him out and took the long game, I think he's past that. That doesn't mean that he's going to be completely healthy with other ailments, but I think those other ailments, when they come up, are going to be pretty minor.
Bill Ryder just trying to, you know, to finally for once in my life be fair, talking to Medina here on the show.
Hey,
to be fair,
it's always good to try and shoot for the moon.
No, it's true. I mean, look, you're not alone. I praised you aggressively coming into the show, and I got a bunch of texts from our colleagues saying that's way too much. Like, let's calm down with the Medina praise. So it's I'm getting hit from all angles, Medina.
Mark,
aren't you glad you woke up for this one, Mark Medina? Here on the show.
I'm used to getting the slings and arrows, so it's all good.
You are, huh? Man, you're a martyr. I love that you don't ever feel sorry for yourself. What are you, Kevin Durant? I'm Mark Medina on the show. All right, actual question. Not the playoff path in front of them. Not the matchups. Just as a playoff team in a vacuum, I know we're not in a vacuum, Mark, but in a vacuum, who's the better postseason basketball team, the Sixers or the Bucks?
Well, you're talking about this season, this upcoming playoffs?
Yeah, who's
I'm more optimistic on the Sixers because I think Ben Simmons has, you know, turned a leaf. I think Joel Embiid has been better used. I know you're not a Doc fan, but while there have been some fair questions to be asked on how he handled things in the bubble with the Clippers, how it applies to the Sixers is that, you know, they have, I think, benefited from having a new voice. Like, Brett Brown's a great coach, but it was clear during that final season that the players just were tuning them out and they weren't seeing eye to eye. And I think with the Bucks, I do like that it seems like Giannis has, amped up his game. You know, Budenholzer's made adjustments. Drew Holiday is one of the better defenders in the league. But I'm kind of wait-and-see mode with them. Like, they've underachieved the last two playoffs. And while that's not unique in NBA history, a lot of good teams have that rite of passage of, you know, struggling in the playoffs before finally breaking through. I'm still wait-and-see mode into having optimism that they'll finally get to that point.
Mark Medina on the show. Mark, in the spirit of trying to be fair, it's not that I don't like Doc Rivers.
You despise him.
No, I don't. He's a nice guy. He's a great regular season coach. But here are some facts. 13 times in the history of the association has a team blown a 3-1 series postseason lead. And three of those 13 times, Doc Rivers has been the coach. And a multitude of times, he has blown a 3-2 series lead. So it's not I don't like him. I think there's some legitimate questions, his one championship notwithstanding, about his team's performances in the postseason.
Yeah, you know what? Like, those points are fair, but I think for me, I'm not absolving Doc from blame by any means, but when you break down some of the playoff failures, more specifically with the Clippers, there is a percentage of blame pie to also distribute where, you know, a lot of the Clipper years, it was Chris Paul and Blake getting hurt at the inopportune time. Sometimes their egos, as you know, were getting in the way too. With the bubble last year, I think that you can, you know, hold Doc accountable for, you know, rotations, Montrezl Harrell specifically. But, you know, frankly, Paul George is hitting shots off the side of the backboard. Kawhi's not showing up in game seven. You know, the chemistry issues had to do with the directives from up above of, hey, let's prioritize health over practice time. And I think that that is the right play, but it also hurt their chemistry. So while I'm not absolving Doc from blame, there's also a larger percentage pie with, you know, when he was with the Clippers of there's other parties to blame as well.
I mean, Mark Medina from USA Today on the show. I think what's interesting about this postseason is you can literally take any of the teams that are styled contenders or near contenders and make a pretty compelling argument for why every individual team isn't going to get it done, which clearly won't be the case. Someone's going to win this NBA championship. The injury issues with Brooklyn, the injury concerns and or lack of consistency with the Lakers. And I mean, I think you could tear down Philly. I think you could tear down Milwaukee if you were so inclined. I think you could certainly go after Utah. I mean, Phoenix may not win that first round. Just team after, there's so much uncertainty. For you, what's the best bet? What's the most likely scenario for which teams come out of each conference and play in the finals?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Because of all the things that you mentioned, I wouldn't put bets on anything. But, you know, I can make predictions knowing that there's no consequence to it beyond you making fun of me the next time you have me on the show.
I would never make fun of you.
And saying that I'm wrong.
Never do that.
Yeah. So that said, I think the safest is to think that the Eastern Conference, there's not going to be any underdog that upsets all of the top three contenders with Brooklyn, Philadelphia, or Milwaukee. It's going to be one of those three that get out. Like, maybe two of them are vulnerable, one of them is vulnerable, but it's not going to be so catastrophic that all of a sudden you see the Atlanta Hawks or like the New York Knicks getting to the finals. Like, it's just not going to happen. The talent separation between those three teams and the rest of the field is pretty deep. In the West, while I don't think that the Nuggets are going to get to the finals, I do place bets on that when they're going to lose, it's not going to be because they did anything self-inflicted. Like, Nikola Jokic is the MVP for a reason. The Nuggets have been remarkably good even without Jamal Murray. They're all about the right stuff. There's a reason why they overcame 2-3-1 deficits last year in the bubble. So when they wind up getting eliminated, it's going to be because, hey, like, they overachieved, they maxed out, they ran against a team that had better talent, like the Lakers or maybe the Jazz, something like that. But I think, as we saw in the bubble, this season, it's all unique circumstances. Anything can happen. All bets are off. So it should be exciting, but also very stressful for all teams involved.
Mark Medina, what do you see and what do you expect from a Suns-Lakers series that I think is going to be really interesting?
Yeah, well, I picked the Lakers because now LeBron and AD are getting healthier. But, you know, the Suns are very capable of winning. They have a really good young roster. I think Chris Paul is doing things that he wasn't able to do with the Clippers and the Rockets. And those two things are he's found a way to stay healthy, which was something that he struggled with during his career, especially in the postseason. And number two, his leadership style, there's pluses and minuses to it. I think the pluses mostly outweigh the minuses, but in the Suns' case and in last year in the Thunder, the reason why he was a better leader is that he was with younger teammates. They're more receptive to what he's all about. Because there's a clear hierarchy, where in the past, you have a guy like James Harden, you have a guy like Blake Griffin, where it's their contemporaries, and a lot more times when that happens, there's more personalities and egos that butt heads. So the Suns are the real deal, but I would still pick the Lakers because when you have a healthy and LeBron AD, and I know that's a big qualifier, but they still have so much talent compared to the rest of the field that I think that they'll be able to get through.
Mark Medina, I love having you on, in part because I agree with almost everything you say, but it's almost like there's a Bill Ryder diplomacy filter on. You're saying all the things that I think, but you're just saying it in such a nicer way. I love that Chris Paul answer. You know, yeah. Contemporaries, and there's some butting of heads. I say it a little differently. I say it a
How
little
differently.
Chris Paul was a irritable egomaniac who couldn't get along with a bunch of his teammates, but when he found the right group of young guys who just wanted to win and were willing to take his unique style of leadership, kind of like with Jimmy Butler in Miami, it was the perfect fit for his approach to life, basketball, and interpersonal relationships.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, specifically with the Clippers, while I think that he's definitely open to fair criticism, including from you, about did that leadership style work, the things that he got on Blake and DeAndre about, like, he wasn't necessarily wrong, right?
No, of course not. But he's also not the coach, right? I mean, you know everything that went on. I mean, yes, you're right, but what's the old expression? It's not what you say, but how you say
it's
it sometimes?
How you say it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like this radio show, right? Like, we're both kind of making the same points, but I'm making it better because how I say it. So I'm
You're
totally
making
with
it
you.
Better for your ability to get along with people in the business, but for the person listening, I think sometimes just being explicit, right? Like, I don't speak in code to the listener, right? I'm not doing this show for NBA Twitter, you know? But I get it. Like,
yeah,
I totally get it.
I mean, to defend myself, I'm never on a team's payroll. I'm not about trying to, like, grease the wheels for you know, access. For example here,
yeah,
I talked with Steph Curry on the phone the other day. He's a great guy, got along with him well. He's having a great season. I did a story on his MVP candidate type season, but I didn't vote for him for MVP. Like, I voted for Jokic, and he didn't give me an interview, but, like, that's not how it's about. It's about who had the better season. So
did you vote Steph,
too? I got to push back a little bit that I'm not this access journalist.
Did you vote Steph, too?
I voted, incidentally enough, I voted Chris second. I voted Steph third.
You voted CP3 second?
Yes.
Good for you. I had him fifth, and I'm still...
Wow. Taking things personal, Bill Ryder. I see.
I felt pretty good about getting him on there. Like, a lot of voters are not going to have Chris Paul on that ballot.
Yeah, I mean, for me, he's been healthy. The Suns are a contending team.
I like it.
I know that they made buzz in the bubble, and that's great. But I think that something that's been lost is that before the bubble, they were this young team, for better and for worse, that kind of underachieved, right?
I respect the hell out of that, as long as I don't see a Chris Paul access piece the next 4 months. And then I'm coming for you.
I've definitely interviewed him, but, like, I didn't do an MVP story on him.
I like it. I mean, look, we're about to run out of time, but this is such a good conversation. I'm trying to remember, and it was tortuous after one. I went Jokic, Embiid, Giannis, Steph, Chris Paul. I mean, I think it was tough this year.
It was really tough. And yeah. I know that Embiid defenders, they get kind of up in arms of, hey, why are you penalizing him when he's been out? Like, injuries can happen. This isn't a last man standing award. But, I mean, here's the reality. It's not so much penalizing him. I think that you should reward guys that are able to do that. And
that's fair.
In Jokic's case, he did, and availability is the best ability, and, you know, it's a testament to what he's done from his training aspect. But I think the other thing is, as dominant as Embiid's been, like, the Sixers were able to hold the fort down when he was out, right? And part of that has to do with Simmons and some of the depth they have. So this idea of, oh, well, who's the most valuable of the team? If you had Jokic out, if you had CP out, if you had Steph out, like, all those teams would have unraveled a lot quicker.
I really enjoyed the conversation, Mark Medina. I feel like D'Angelo Russell. We have this unique bond. Next time you come on, we'll have you tell that story. Good stuff. I appreciate you. I'm not on the road a lot, but I will be at the finals. I assume I'll see, and I'll be in New York in a few weeks for some of those games. So I hope to see you at one of those two stops.
Sounds good. Knock on wood on my end. I'm in LA, and we'll see how the pandemic plays out and the access. But, yeah, hope to see you sooner rather than later.
Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you, Mark.
All right, thanks, man.